Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network.
HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
Today's program is brought to you by Korin, a supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. For more information, visit korin.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Cutting the Curd on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Joe Salonia. Today, we got a whole crew with us. We have Alexandra Jones, who is the 2023 Daphne Zeppos Research Award recipient. Also joining, we have Daphne Zeppos Teaching Endowment President, Randy Wills, and I'll shorten to the acronyms now. We have DZTE Operations Manager and 2015 Teaching Award recipient, and Shelburne Farm Sales Manager, Tom Perry. So, if you've ever considered applying to the Daphne Zeppos Teaching Endowment for either the Teaching Award or the Research Award, this is the show to listen to. And it is getting crowded in here around our virtual table. So I'm so happy to have you here. Alex, Brandy, Tom, welcome to Cutting the Curd.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for having us. We're excited to talk to you today.
Awesome, everybody. Thanks for being here. It's crowded around our virtual round table, and it took a lot to get everybody here at the same time schedule-wise. But let's jump right in, and I want to start with you, Tom Perry. Tom, you're a guy who gets around the cheese world, and you are the 2015 DZTA recipient. That's the teaching award that was given to you in that year. And it was before the Research Award, I think, was developed, right? And for a reminder to the newbies listening, please tell the audience who you are and why this episode of Cutting the Curd is important and what it can mean to our audience and followers of Cutting the Curd.
Sure. So the Daphne Zeppos Teaching Award was established in 2012, but the first recipient was selected in 2013 following the death of Daphne Zeppos, who was a very well-regarded and world-renowned cheese educator and cheese advocate that was beloved by many in our industry. And, you know, this award is designed to help, I want to say, journey person levels of cheese and food professionals really do a deep dive on an aspect of cheese. And, you know, it was originally just the teaching award, which involved travel and presenting the award, your findings at the American Cheese Society Conference in July of each year, whenever a year after you won the award. And, you know, since that time that I won in 2015, we've certainly evolved and upgraded, I would say, the organization to become more open, adding another award, adjusting to the times to, you know, keep up with inflation and also, you know, being understanding of the real challenges that come with winning an award of this nature and the responsibility that somebody has to commit to and undertake when they accept this award. So anybody that's in food, whether they're a cheesemonger, a cheesemaker, involved in dairy, academic, a food writer, sommelier, bartender, brewer, line cook, can apply for this award. But the focal point is to learn and do a deep dive in cheese. And, you know, with the teaching award, that meant traveling to Europe and, you know, engaging with some of the, you know, best and brightest that European cheese has to offer. And now with the research award, you don't necessarily have to do that travel component, but many of the, or so far, many of the recipients that have received this award have embarked on travel of one level or another to augment the research that they can do from the relative comfort of their home if they choose.
Right. So that's a lot there. And just to break it down, that it's to understand there's these two awards, the teaching award and the research award, which we'll touch on later on about how they're inherently different, but it hopefully will be present itself through the show. But first, Brandy, please tell the audience who you are and your role at DZTE and how that fits into what Tom was explaining.
Yeah, so I have been a food writer and editor for about 20 years. I was formerly the editor of Culture Magazine, which I think a lot of the listeners of the show will be familiar with, being a cheese-focused magazine. And I was also the editor at Feast Magazine for a while, which is a Midwest culinary magazine. Currently, I am the board president for the DZTE, and that means that I try to provide some direction for the board to help ensure that all of our actions are serving our mission and our vision under what was written by Daphne Zepos. And I also work to make sure that our incredible board members have everything that they need so they can fulfill their roles while they serve on the board. And we have a really passionate and committed group of board members, and watching how much of their knowledge and expertise they put every day into making these scholarships and the recipients of them successful is just a really huge motivator for me.
Fantastic. And it's great to have you steering the ship. Myself being a board member as well, and it's a total honor to serve. And I just a quick little side question here. If where can people listening, our audience members, where can they learn more about Daphne Zepos, who she was as a person? Is there, there's a page on the website that explains Daphne's works, right?
Yeah, the DZTE.org. So it's Daphne Zepos Teaching Endowment, but DZTE.org. Has a page that talks about Daphne and, you know, kind of what her vision was around creating this endowment, you know, what she was passionate about, what she cared about, how she impacted the cheese community. And it's a really great read to get to know her. Also in the application packet, I think when you look at the packet for either one of the awards, that we include a page there that talks about her too. So we're really committed to seeing her vision come to life.
Really? She was such an incredible person. Alexandra, but we call you Alex. Sometimes we call you Jones. You're the 2023 winner of the Daphne Zepos Research Award. And we'd like to know, what led up to you applying and what motivated you to take that step?
What motivated me was not applying the previous 2 years to the research award when I really wanted to. I had a ton of ideas and just either ran out of time or imposter syndrome myself out of going through with it. So last year, I was just determined to at least get an application in. And I carved out like the one day in my schedule I could do it, and hadn't even decided on my topic yet. But the topic that I ended up getting the award for is the one that came out that day. And if folks who know me know that I tend to take on a lot and I have a lot of ideas, so I really had to focus to just choose one.
Just choose one topic. I see. And that was hard because there are so many topics. And your topic, can you remind the audience, what is your topic? I mean, they could find this out by getting on our website, but what is your topic?
My topic was cheese and climate change. Again, biting off something really big to consider and research. Yeah,
could you pick a bigger topic? Wow, climate change, pretty massive topic. And how many hours of prep would you say, you know, between prepping, thinking about it, and writing, did it take for you to, you know, take that step and go ahead and submit, like from start to finish?
Honestly, it was less than a day, like a working day, probably about 4 to 6 hours of actually working. I am a writer as my full-time job, and cheese educator. So, you know, I might be a little faster at that piece of the application than folks who don't write all day. But for me, it was really about like giving myself the space to focus in and like get it out on the page, shared it with a few trusted friends and colleagues, and got some feedback and sent it in.
That sounds great. That's that should hopefully inspire, especially the writers out there, because I don't consider myself a writer per se, but the writers I know, they're like machines. They're like writing machines. Whereas like I'm more of a cook. I'm a cooking machine, but I'm not a writing machine. But like, yeah, but so either way, you could either play to your strength or it could be inspired to go a little out of your comfort zone for those listening. It's good to hear your take on what it took for you to submit that. And it's always centered around a vision, right? Vision is a big word. Visioning is a key tenet of DZTE. And generally, I mean, this is a great practice for life, but how is that concept applied to the DZTA and DZRA, meaning the teaching award and the research award? Tom or Alex, would you like to briefly speak to that visioning? And either of you can go first.
I'll be happy to go first. So visioning is basically taking an idea about what you'd like to accomplish, but setting that goal in the future. And then, you know, standing at that place in the future and looking back on the steps that you took to get to that place and also the impact that it had and the changes that had, you know, kind of taken shape after you'd received the award and put it into action. You know, for example, when I wrote my vision, first of all, I always tell people I didn't think I had a snowball's chance in hell of actually receiving the Destiny Zeppos Teaching Award, but I did. And I felt, you know, very inspired by, you know, Daphne's contribution to the cheese world, and I wanted to be a part of that. And I needed to at least get those thoughts out into the world. And I set my vision 20 years into the future, because that's how long I thought it would take for people to become interested in, you know, that, you know, naturally cultured cheese or native starter cultures that I was very happy to learn people are already pursuing and are taking, you know, pretty big steps into making more mainstream. And also, you know, learning that there are cheeses that we consume almost every day that fall into that category. But just having that focus and that, you know, direction really helped me kind of craft and steer myself towards what I would ultimately end up doing as my travel and research.
Fantastic. And so it's like you're speaking in the past tense, right? You're setting a date in the future a bit, and then you're talking about your topic a little bit in the past tense. Is that like the little bit of a twist to how to look at it when it comes to the vision?
Yeah, there is that past tense aspect. Like, I traveled here. I accomplished this. I shared this. I learned this. And it's just taking that future view that kind of sets the intention for your present.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great life hack. Alex, anything to add to that?
Yeah. Visioning, I think it felt a little frustrating to me at first because I was like, well, can I really do all of this stuff? Like, I feel like I'm not being totally honest here or something. But it's actually really freeing because you can really like swing big and aim high with your vision. And I think it also speaks to the sort of like flexibility and inspiring nature of the awards where you know, the ARS team who advises awardees is just super encouraging. Like, they want people to think big with their projects and not feel constrained. Like, they want them to like shoot for the stars, as it were. And then receiving the award and like working with the committee, like that support is like borne out. Like they're really enthusiastic about the ideas that I have. So people should feel like inspired to do that part of the application. And it really does help you get over some of that imposter syndrome you might be feeling.
It's almost empowering because it gives you that like thrust to move forward. Even if you're not the recipient of the award, it kind of helps give you that push to take steps towards goals that you might not otherwise have gone for.
Yeah, and I think it also helps you in that idea of planning your project too. As a board member, at the time that I applied to be on the board, they asked the board members to write visions, since we asked the applicants to do the same. So when I was writing my vision for my contributions to the board, I sat there and thought of myself as myself 5 years in the future, writing like a journal entry or an essay or something about everything that I'd done over the last 5 years. And that's kind of how I approached my vision. But as I did that, I started to think about all the things I wanted to do. And if I had to write out, well, in this year I did this, and this year I accomplished this, and this year the board got to this place, then it really made me attach a timeline to it. And what is realistic to accomplish in a certain amount of time? And what are the steps that it has to take to get there? So I think it's a great tool for actually planning what you could achieve within a certain realm of your project.
And I think one could also argue that for anybody who just wants to, I don't know, get sharper at their life, even just the act of doing this is only going to hopefully fulfill you in some way. Just the act of writing a vision, very healthy exercise to do. We probably all could, at least I'll speak for myself, I should be doing this more often just in general. But Alex, it's great that you say you felt supported. And what would you say if you're someone listening, like what kind of commitment does this feel like as a recipient? Is it challenging to follow through on your planning, or do you feel with the support and everything you're in a good spot?
I think that depends on the applicant and the project that they want to do, because I think one conversation I had with the committee last fall was like, I had this giant 4-page research outline, and I kind of admitted, I was like, you know, when I was thinking about this, this is really more of a book proposal, not like a small grant project and a conference presentation, right? So, you know, I made a really big plan for myself that I think will hopefully extend past the award. But in terms of what I said I would do to fulfill the award, which was present at the American Cheese Society conference this summer, I feel like I'll be able to present something representative of the research I've done so far. So if somebody has like a more limited scope, I don't think there should be a problem with that, with fulfilling it. And that's part of what the committee is there to help you with. Like if you do bite off a lot and need to like narrow down a little bit, like they're going to help you do that.
Right on. So someone listening, it'd be so daunting and overwhelming just to even applying in the first place. You would think maybe, well, dang, if I win, then what do I even do with that? But that's where the committee comes in, and that's, you'll feel hopefully supported, that there's a whole piece to it that goes beyond winning. So that's great to hear, Alex. And you know what I just thought about the other day is, as we're moving forward in time, you know, as the years progress, there's going to be new audience members, more and more listeners who likely not have ever met Daphne, have not crossed paths with her. And so like briefly, what are some of the most important things to understand about who Daphne was and why the DZT is important to cheese professionals? And I was going to say maybe Tom or Brandy, maybe you can help answer that just briefly, just to, like key takeaway things, because there's a good portion of our audience who are coming into the business who never would have ever met Daphne.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been in the cheese industry since, you know, 2008, and I never met Daphne. I did have some phone conversations with her, but usually she was calling to talk to my boss. And I always would say, like, you know, this was the interaction I had with Daphne Zeppos. And it was, hello, this is my shop. How can I help you? And they would say, hello, this is Daphne. Is Katie there? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And I passed Daphne over to Katie. And that was the entire interaction I had with Daphne. But I definitely knew of the gravity and the, you know, the sincerity and the knowledge that Daphne Zeppos brought to the cheese industry, even as, you know, just a counter level monger. She started the Essex Street Cheese Company, which is renowned for bringing in Comté, Parmigiano Reggiano, Manchego, a number of well-regarded Goudas, and Feta into the United States. She, you know, would attend Slow Food Cheese whenever it would occur biannually in Bra. And she was a strong advocate for the American cheese movement that was really in its infancy, you know, back in the 2000s, and has now blossomed into this, you know, food juggernaut that we're all a part of and that we all love and have spent good portions of our lives being a part of. And there's a real concern about, you know, Daphne just being like a statue and not a living, breathing person that was so cherished by, you know, many people in the food industry. And, you know, we want to keep her and her dream and her vision alive. And that is being achieved through the work of the recipients like myself and like Alex and all the people that have come before us and all the people yet to come.
Excellent. Right on. Yeah. Something is a real honor in carrying through her work.
I think you're right, Joe, that there are more and more groups of people coming into the cheese world that have not met her before. But I think that you spend a little bit of time around someone who has, you speak to some of our board members or, you know, some of the people who are sponsors or that donate to the fund or that help out in some ways. And you don't have to talk about Daphne with them for a minute, and all they're talking about is just how she inspired them. So many people are like, oh, she inspired me. She taught me so much. She had this passion for education and for getting the most enjoyment as you can, either as someone who's eating cheese or learning about cheese or making cheese. And so I just think that her passion, her spirit, all of that stuff is really infused everything we do with the endowment, but it also still is very much alive within the community. So if you haven't met Daphne, ask somebody about Daphne and you will feel like you know her.
I love that. That's a great takeaway. It's a great quote even there, Brandy, for the audience. Hey, let's just put a pin in that. We're going to need to take a short break right after a message from our sponsor.
Today's program is brought to you by Korin, a supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. Korin is proud of their Japanese culture and traditions, but they want you to know that their products are not just for Japanese restaurants. Their knives and tableware bring out the best qualities of food from every culture and fit into every restaurant from French to Pan-Asian to American. And that is why they're located in New York City, where people from every country in the world come to eat. Korin's Tribeca showroom is home to the most extensive collection of Japanese chef knives in the world, including Japan. Stop by to view their exquisitely designed tableware and the rarest natural sharpening stones. They have a whole range of knife services from repair and rust removal to reshaping and realigning. Korin is dedicated to this ideal, bringing the highest quality Japanese design to your table so you can experience the unparalleled quality of Japanese craftsmanship in your home or restaurant. For more information, visit korin.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. We're here chatting with the DZTE crew, Brandy Wills, Tom Perry, and DZRA, that's the Research Award recipient from 2023, Alexander Jones. Brandy, you were just commenting about Daphne's inspiration. She really viewed the cheese world through a lens that was rare and far beyond most. The more you can learn about Daphne, the more you can be inspired. But for the purposes of the awards, what are the biggest differences to consider if someone's thinking about applying to either DZRA Research Award or the DZTA Teaching Award? And can someone apply to both even? Is that even a possibility?
Sure. Yeah. So looking at the two awards, so both scholarships are their intention is that they're awarded to further the recipient's learning and their ability to educate others about cheese. So even though they have the same aim, the biggest difference is that the DZTA, the teaching award is designated specifically to fund travel to Europe in order for you to do that learning. And as part of receiving that award, you must present your findings the following year at ACS. And just so you know, our board works really closely with the recipients to prepare and hone their presentation. So it's not like you just go off on your own and have to figure out how to do this. We work really closely with you to, you know, help you with the actual PowerPoint presentation, going through your notes, giving you feedback. It's a real group effort. So that calms a little bit of nerves around that. But the, as I said before, the biggest difference between the two being that travel part. So the, if you're thinking about the topic that you have, the DZRA applicants, you might have a really great idea that just doesn't require travel. So the thing that you're trying to achieve might happen through interviews that you can conduct stateside, or your project might focus more on maybe exploring history or economics or the scientific processes of cheese making, things like that. So yeah, starting with that need to travel. And then second, maybe looking at knowing how much your project needs in order, like what kind of funding do you need in order to achieve what you're looking to do? So the award amounts are different for the two awards, and they were just recently increased to adjust for inflation. So starting with the 2024 award season, the teaching award, the DZTA, that amount is going to be $6,800. And the DZRA, the research award amount, is going to be $2,900. So I think really understanding the kind of funding you need for your award will help you decide which of those you're going to apply for. And to answer your question, yes, people can apply to both. I would just say to, as you're looking at the two different application packets, just make sure that you read the guidelines closely, because there are some different guidelines for each award. And I have seen in the past where someone had a project that was great for both awards and they submitted identical applications to both. And so unfortunately for one of them, they were not, they didn't meet the requirements of the application, but for the other one they did. So just kind of keeping an eye on that, looking at the application guidelines closely and making sure that you are speaking to what's needed for each of those.
And if there's questions along the way that an applicant may have, they can just simply write on the info@dzte.org email, or...
Yes. And yeah, you can reach out. The board is there to help. And we have an application. I think it's the applicant and recipient support committee is what we call it. So they're a group of people who are designated to helping our applicants and the recipient, with any help that they need there. So I would say definitely take advantage of that. If you have questions about the application, if you even want to talk about, I have a couple different ideas, as Alex mentioned earlier, like there's some different things I want to do here. Help me understand, you know, what's the best thing to put forth in my application. We're definitely here to help. We want to help you and talk with you about what you're thinking about.
Right on. That's really great to know for our listeners. I think hopefully it'll encourage them even more. Tom, I have a question for you too. Lots of questions. That's why we're here. So the DZTA recipients, that's the Teaching Award recipients, are granted a spot to present at the ACS, American Cheese Society Conference, that is held every summer, different city every summer, the following summer at ACS of when they won. So it's always like a season or a year later. Is the DZRA recipient granted a spot automatically, or is it, will this be the first time in 2024?
So unfortunately, a DZRA slot at ACS is not guaranteed. However, that being said, I believe both DZRA recipients that have submitted proposals to be part of the educational sessions at their respective ACSs have had their presentations accepted and will be shared them and will be sharing them. I feel like the fact that the DZTA automatic slot is a gift and was instituted as a way to help keep Daphne as, you know, still part of, you know, the community. We would love for the DZRA recipient to have that automatic slot, but, you know, the nature of the DZRA doesn't necessarily mean that the recipient is going to produce something that is a digestible presentation, that they are welcome to do a multimedia project, you know, write a publishable article, or you know, do any number of like projects that can convey the learning that they did. But Mary Casella, who was our first DZRA recipient in 2021, did her research on women in dairy, and she had her proposal accepted to present at the ACS in Portland in 2022.
And are we slated to have Alex present in Buffalo? Has that been decided yet, or is that still something that's being looked at?
I believe Alex has submitted a presentation. Alex, do you have an update on where your presentation submission lies?
I do have an update. I don't know if it's been made public yet, though. So you can take that as you will.
We'll find out later.
Okay. So Alex, how do you feel about the possibility or the idea of presenting at ACS? Is it an idea? Is it something that excites you, or does it make you get unnerved? Or like, how do you feel about that in general?
I think it's exciting. I haven't been to the conference since 2018. It's back on the East Coast this year. I really wanted to go anyway. And I kind of put that as my goal. I was also like, I'm going to make a podcast and write about things that I find and do all these other things, right? But the thing that would fulfill my obligation for the award, I wanted to be presenting for a couple of reasons. One, I wanted to share my hard work with like the industry at the place where the industry meets every year. And, you know, give myself that opportunity to kind of live up to that. And the other reason is because I want my topic to be discussed as much as possible in the industry, which ACS has definitely been doing more programming related to climate change. And, you know, the findings that I'm going to share, the perspective that I'm going to share, I think is really important to consider as well. And the more that folks are talking about that there, the better.
And without it being too much of a spoiler alert, because at some point your presentation will be made available online, what kind of questions? It's such a massive topic, climate change. What kind of questions do you raise within this topic that you feel are some, you know, kind of the focal point? But again, not wanting to, no spoiler alert here, but you know.
Sure. It's, you know, still a really broad topic. I don't think I'm giving anything away, but the way that I kind of broke it down in my vision and when I was reaching out to some of the sources that I interviewed was that I want to explore like three prongs. One being the relationship between cheese production and climate change, how cheesemakers and dairy farmers are being affected by climate change now. And then what they're doing to both mitigate their impact and build climate resilience. So sort of three different ways of looking at it. You know, you could do a project, a big project on one of those prongs. But that's kind of how I imagined looking at it, to create something that was both like very informational, kind of character driven and engaging in that way, where different producers are highlighted, and there's like a bit more of a story to what can be a really weighty topic, and then also information that's actionable and hopefully like inspiring in a real concrete way.
Oh, I love that, like, actionable. That's where I start to smile. I hope that your presentation does inspire good actions. So where are you in this process with the presentation? Are you feel like you're at the completion point? Are you still midway through?
Definitely still mid. After, you know, when we started meeting with the committee last fall, I spent a lot of time on this. I kind of treated it like another client in my client roster, doing a lot of interviews, a lot of outreach, a lot of reading. And that culminated last year in going to Puerto Rico, where I had a journalist contact who had actually been doing some work around the dairy industry there. And she like showed me around, connected me with a lot of sources. I gathered a lot of audio and images, kind of as a place that is experiencing a lot of those climate vulnerabilities, like right now, that a lot of the rest of the United States might want to be looking forward to. I took a little break, a little winter break from going quite as hard on it. But now that it's almost March and I'm like counting down, I'm starting to kind of make my plan to finish out the research, really go through what I've gathered so far and see what the gaps are, and then start assembling that into a presentation for ACS, as well as like seeing what else I can do with all of this great information I've gathered.
I'm going to look very much forward to it. It's a lot there though. So, wow. I mean, just, I tip my hat. That's a big, massive topic you're tackling. You live in Philly. So I guess in theory you could drive, but you may fly. I don't know what, to get to Buffalo. I don't even know what I'm doing. I live in the Metro New York area. I may drive or fly, but, Brandy, question to you. If someone wins the award, they're going to present at the ACS. And if someone lives far from the city where the ACS is sponsored, for our listeners to know, is travel expense paid or included in the, it's included in the stipend that they get for this purpose?
Yeah. If you are a presenter at ACS, ACS does pay for one night of your hotel and for a day at the conference, the day that you're presenting. But it is up to the recipient to allocate the funds that they have as they need. So if part of what you need is to cover the cost to attend the conference or your flight or anything like that, then that should definitely be in that budgeted amount that we talked about earlier of you knowing what it is that you need financially out of the award. So that would come out of your stipend for that, if that's something that you want to use to pay for it. I want to just say too, it's also worth asking your employer for assistance. Some employers put aside some funds for travel and education for their staff. So definitely letting them know this is something that you're doing and, you know, might need assistance for. And then again, I mentioned the applicant and recipient support committee, the ARS committee. And as you're talking to us about things, maybe asking about those creative ideas of how to have some things paid for or how to cover some of those costs too.
Yeah. I mean, it takes a veritable cheese village to make it happen, right? I mean, but that's what we are. We are a cheese village, our community, the cheese community. We are all helping each other uphold support. So I guess pulling the resources together is what it's about. Yeah. Question for Tom and Brandy briefly. Can you touch a little bit on Alex Armstrong, not to be confused with our Alexander Jones here online with us, but where is Armstrong in his work and planning for the DZTA teaching award? He'll be traveling, either he's already flown to France or he's about to kick off his European research journey.
Yeah, currently he has kicked off his Paris tour. He is there making some connections at Salon du Fromage, which is the big trade show where a lot of the contacts he's going to want to be making are there in the same room in person, which is really great. And I do think he maybe has a few visits after the show, but the plan is that he's going to use the contacts that he makes face-to-face at Salon du Fromage as a jumping out point for a second trip later this spring, where he's going to go back and gather the research that he's looking for on sensory analysis. And he's going to do this both from well-known and maybe not so well-known sources so that his research really feels well-rounded and that we're getting the most applicable information as possible. So it's not just focused from the sources that we always know as go-tos, but what are other people who may be a little like not so much in the spotlight? What are they doing? What are they learning? What can we learn from them?
I mean, that sounds like a pretty juicy trip, pretty juicy topic: sensory analysis for Armstrong, climate change for Jones, calling you by your last names. I mean, just pretty approachable topics for anybody to sit in. I'm sure they'll be very interesting presentations. I can't wait for both of them.
Yeah, they're exciting. I wanted to mention too, when we were talking about Mary Casella's presentation at ACS, I got to be there that year, and that room was standing room only. It was full. She had a great turnout and questions went on and on. We were there for a little longer than we were supposed to be. So a really great moment to be able to learn about these super important topics and have those one-on-one conversations with these recipients that are out there in the field learning about these things. So I encourage you, if you're at ACS, to come by and check it out.
I would say that every presentation that I've been fortunate to see has been well attended and is usually standing room only. Trevor's last year was packed and people were like jumping in with all sorts of questions about Rennet that, you know, he really did the research and work on.
Yeah. It's really up to the imagination and also what's feeling inside everybody's heart who's listening, who may want to present a topic you're passionate about. I mean, there's no right or wrong in this. It's following your heart and your passion and your imagination, to apply. But the idea behind the show is to explain, which we hopefully have done, and also to inspire to get those listeners to just go ahead and make some applications happen. We've covered a lot of key takeaway points here to consider when applying. But Alex, do you want to add anything to what we said? Is there something that's top of mind that you think questions someone should be asking themselves?
I think if you have an idea that like you just can't get out of your head, or that you really want to explore, or something that you wish existed in the world that, you know, was under the purview of this program, you should absolutely apply. I've had a couple of folks approach me after winning the award with like really cool ideas. And I'm always just like, yeah, like you should definitely apply. Hit me up on Instagram, and I'm happy to like read through your stuff. And I also just want to say, if there are people that you want to talk to or that you would need access to as part of your project, and you're like, I'm not sure I can get to these people, if they're in the cheese world and they've been in the cheese world for a certain amount of time, and you put the name Daphne Zippos in that email or that phone call, that name opens a lot of doors. I didn't know Daphne either. I know her through this project or through this program, but I was really, I was surprised that some real luminaries in the industry, like, you know, invoked her name and her memory in our conversations, and clearly had such warm memories and fondness for her and gratitude for her work. So that's an important thing to think about too. That name opens a lot of doors.
Yeah, that could be a show unto itself, just hearing Daphne stories. I have a few, you know, but there's just no time on this episode. That could be its own show. That's how amazing she was. If you met her once, you had a story probably. You know, she just, it's massive impacts on people that are in the cheese world, especially. Thank you for that, Alex. Brandy, do you have anything to add to that? Any questions, like just key question that someone should be asking themselves about when applying?
Yeah, I wanted to just give a few like kind of behind the scenes tips, you know, because we are getting ready to take applications soon and the board members are going to be reviewing them. So I just kind of wanted to give you guys like a board member's point of view on this, like some of those tips from us. So I think just making sure that you read the application directions and follow them, kind of as I said before, can you tell that I'm an editor? So your project is really important and you have put so much hard work into the presentation and pitching it. You really don't want to be disqualified for like not meeting a requirement of the application. So just making sure that you're looking through that and writing to it. I also think it's a really good idea to have maybe like have a friend who isn't a cheese expert read through your application, asking like, do they understand what your project is? Is it clear how you're going to benefit, how that project will benefit the cheese industry or further cheese education? And can they understand how you're going to utilize the funds if they're awarded to you? Because even though most of our board members, almost all of our board members reviewing the proposal are part of the industry in some way, we're not all cheesemongers or cheesemakers. So you really want to write it in a way that allows all of us to understand and get excited about your vision for your project. And as I said before, just remember that the board is here to help you. It's such a resource. I'd love to see everyone take advantage of it. So helping the applicants and the recipients is probably the main reason that most of us have joined the board. And so, you know, knowing that you can ask for that guidance, as we talked about, Also knowing that every single person who applies to either one of these awards is going to receive detailed feedback on your application, regardless of whether or not you receive the award. So if you don't receive it this year, you're going to get personalized notes from all the board members who reviewed it on how you can improve it for the next year. And just so you know, a number of our recipients have applied twice or three times or more before they have won the award. So definitely coming back and trying again and using those notes.
That sounds really great. That sounds like a gift right there to even just go through the work and get something back that you can build upon no matter what. That sounds really great. Good to know.
Absolutely.
Tom, do you have anything to add?
Yeah. So in addition to, you know, all of the things that Alex and Brandy already mentioned, while we ask that you don't reach out to the board directly about your idea, we do have a number of board emeriti that are willing to look over your application. We also have past recipients that are willing to look over your vision. And we encourage you to run ideas past us, and we'll give you the feedback that we can. I'm the one that monitors the email that you'll be sending your pieces into. So that's info@dzta.org. And, you know, you don't have to send everything at once. If you want to send stuff in piecemeal, we'll create a folder for you and we'll have it, you know, organized. And when your application is complete, we'll let you know so that you're not like, you know, freaking out, wondering if we've gotten everything. But by the same token, we will let you know what we are waiting on. And the one thing that I stress to everybody is work on getting your letters of recommendation as soon as possible. Odds are you're going to want somebody that is very important to you and, you know, has inspired you in your cheese journey or in your learning. And sometimes their plates are very full with other commitments, and sometimes you got to ask them three or four times. And honestly, like, that's sometimes the very last thing that people have to get into us are those letters of recommendation. I also recommend for the teaching award in particular, this year we have reinstated the ACS membership requirement, which is unique to the teaching award only. If you want to be considered, you or the organization you're a part of need to be a member of ACS. So make sure if you work for a member organization that they're part of ACS and you can claim them as your sponsor, so to speak. And if you're not, there are many ways that you can become a member of ACS.
Great. Great. Well, those are really great, helpful tips. I'm even learning in this process. It's just good for all of our listeners, hopefully, to hear about all this. But we are just about out of time, guys. So I am going to thank you all, Brandy, Alex, Tom. Thank you for joining me today on Cutting the Curd to talk about and explain and hopefully inspire more of the cheese world to apply for the DZTA and the DZRA. And by the time you're hearing the podcast, the open enrollment is happening now. The cutoff is May 31st. So for DZTA, that's $6,800 scholarship. And for May 1st, the cutoff is for the DZRA, that's a $2,900 scholarship. And to learn more, go to dzte.org and get applying. Brandy, Alex, Tom, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having us. This is great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, everyone, you can follow DZTE on Instagram at DZTE2022. You can follow Tom Perry at Thomas the Monger. You can follow Alexandra Jones at A-Rock Jonestown. And please follow us on Instagram at Cutting the Curd and Heritage Radio Network at Heritage_Radio. And lastly, follow me at Sting Chef. Please listen and subscribe to Cutting the Curd via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, please give us a 5-star review. It will really help us broaden our audience and algorithm. And it only takes a minute. Okay, thanks everyone. And if you love someone, send them cheese.
the Curd is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.